Amen. Always good to be at U Church. You know, every time I come here, you're either just sending someone or receiving someone back from the nations. And that's how I know I'm in an apostolic house, because it's not just about you. It's about fulfilling the Great Commission. And every one of us have a part, whether we're actually on the teams that are getting on planes and flying to the ends of the earth, or whether we're part of the support team here at home, the intercessory team, the servant team. We all have a part. The arm reaches out from the body and touches, you know, all cultures, all nations, but the arm is an extension of the body. So whether you stay or whether you go, we are all part of this amazing thing. The other reason why I know this is an apostolic house is because of your amazing endurance. I just want to bless Danielle. Where did she go? Hi, Danielle. You know, the mark of an apostle, Paul says, is endurance. Endurance. And as I look at you this morning, I see that many of you are walking where Danielle has been walking, which is in a place of endurance. You have done all you've known to do. You're standing and you're continuing to stand and you're enduring. But some of you are feeling tired. Some of you are feeling spent. For some of you, it's basically all you can do is to show up. So we want to minister to all of us today in this area. Brant asked me if I would bring a word about encouragement. And every one of us needs to be encouraged. So, Father, we come boldly before the throne of grace this morning. And, Lord, I thank you for every man, every woman in this room. I thank you for the gifts and callings. I thank you for the destinies. I thank you for the anointings. I thank you for the commissionings. I thank you for the visions and the dreams and the mandates and the mantles that you have for this house. And I pray, Lord, that we would not grow weary in well-doing, but that we would be renewed by the Holy Spirit in our inner man, and that we would be encouraged and we would keep our eyes on Jesus. And no matter how strong the wind and waves are, no matter how rough it looks, I ask, Father, that you who are the author of our faith would also be the finisher of it. And so I speak over this congregation. You have begun well. You have launched well. You've launched with boldness and with faith and with a unique flavor that is special to you, church. And I ask that you would continue, that you would run the race with endurance, that you would keep your eyes on the prize, and you wouldn't even consider taking a sideline or a dead end. I speak faith and hope and love over everyone, and I thank you, Lord, that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And I declare his banner over you today, you church, is love. His banner over you is love. And I declare that love never fails. And I declare that he is love. God is love. And he dwells in each one of you. And I declare that the fullness of his presence in your life is overflowing. And out of the overflow of that love comes the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, and the stamina and the patience and the endurance to keep running and running. And when all natural strength fails, I declare that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that will rise up in you and make alive your mortal body. And every morning you will see new mercies. Every day you will have new strength. Every hour you will get your second wind, so to speak, and you will have strength that is beyond the task. And I declare that whatever the challenge, whatever the obstacles, whatever the barriers, whatever the opposition from the enemy, that God's grace is greater. And I declare that greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. I declare that greater is he who's in you, you church, than the principalities over this university. I declare that greater is he who's in you, church in Calgary, than the strongholds over this city. And I call forth Christ in you to rise up and to be strong in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So today I'm going to just share some random thoughts about encouragement. But before I do, I want to just share a word that our spiritual father said over and over before he went home to be with the Lord. And the word was this: it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. For those who are in alignment with God, it will be the best of times. For those who are out of alignment with God, it will be the worst of times. Now, I have one mission here today at Brant's invitation, and that is to share a word of encouragement to you. And I'm honored to do that because I'm a man under authority. When I come into any house, anywhere in the world, I find out who the leaders are, and then I get under their authority and ask how I can serve. And I believe that's the correct biblical posture to take when we are itinerants and we're coming into other people's territories. So if Brant asks me to speak on encouragement, I'm going to do my very best to do that. But you know what? I cannot encourage you if you are out of alignment with God and continue in that. No amount of encouragement is going to kind of force God's hand to bless you if you are out of alignment with God. So before I start into this list, I just want to encourage you. If you are out of alignment with God in any area of your life, that might be relationally, that might be spiritually, that might be financially, I'm not sure what area, but I'm just exhorting you, please bring that area back into alignment with God. Because if you do, then God can bless you. God's favor can be upon you, and Holy Spirit can really enable you to do what he's called you to do. But if we live in willful disobedience and we're walking in another direction, then it makes it very hard for God to encourage us. How many understand? Okay. So the first point I want to make today about encouragement has to do with our heart attitude. You know, the children of Israel were really not able to enter the promised land for many years because of one major problem: murmuring and complaining. God said, you know, those who murmur and complain will not enter into the promised land. It is an indication of a heart condition that's not healthy. And so the opposite of murmuring and complaining, of course, would be a spirit of thanksgiving. If you wish to enter into your destiny, if you're serious about fulfilling your birthright, you need to have and cultivate a spirit of thanksgiving. Why? Because Psalm says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Thanksgiving is a key that unlocks the primary gate for us to enter into his presence, where the grace of God flows. And so I want to encourage you today to cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, light and darkness cannot occupy the same place at the same time. One is going to prevail and the other is going to have to leave. So I challenge you to try to hold on to a spirit of heaviness or a spirit of depression while at the same time expressing a spirit of thanksgiving. You can't really do it. So I know which one I have chosen. I want to enter his gates. I want to be found doing my Father's will. So thanksgiving is a lifestyle that I have chosen. And so often our prayers begin with thanksgiving rather than requests. It says, let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. So this is really important. We just had Thanksgiving. But surprisingly enough, many Canadians, Christians, who live in what I consider to be the best country in the world, I hear a lot more murmuring and complaining from them than I hear thanksgiving. Can you identify with that? When we offer thanksgiving, we are actually entering into his presence, and the next step is coming into his courts with praise, and God actually inhabits the praises of his people. His presence comes, and everyone is encouraged. So what does the spirit of thanksgiving look like? Well, it just overflows with thanksgiving to God for everything that he's done. Father, I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit that you have given to me, who's my teacher, who's my guide, who's my comforter. Father, I thank you for this great salvation that I don't need to perish, but I can have everlasting life starting now and enjoying through all eternity. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all unrighteousness and presents me faultless before the Father. Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ that you've given to encourage me and me to be able to encourage them, and we are heirs together of the grace of life. Father, I thank you for your gifts and your callings that you have given me, not because I deserve them, they're gifts, but you've equipped me to be able to serve your people and to bring glory to your name. Father, I thank you for the helmet of salvation that protects my mind. I thank you for the breastplate of righteousness that guards my heart. I thank you for the shield of faith that I can lift against all the fiery darts of the evil one. I thank you for the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that I can wield against the enemy, and he must obey me in all things. I thank you, Father, for the belt of truth and for the truth that sets me free. I thank you for the shoes of the gospel, that I am prepared to share the gospel in any and all situations wherever you would send me. Father, I thank you that you are my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I declare that he prepares a banquet table before me in the presence of my enemies, that his rod and his staff, daily they comfort me. And there's no situation that comes upon me that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is not available to strengthen me and to encourage me and to cause me to gird up my loins and to cause me to run the race and cause me to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint, in fact, to mount up with wings as an eagle and soar in heavenly places. Is there anybody here? Are you thankful for these things? I could go on all day. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And the spirit of thanksgiving is the key for me that unlocks the presence of God so that I can step into his courts with praise, that I can step into his perfect will for my life. And never do I need to be cast down, defeated, or discouraged. Sound good? That's just number one, thanksgiving. The second amazing ability God has given to all of us is the ability to pray in the Spirit. You might call it praying in a heavenly language. You might call it praying in tongues. You might call it a heavenly worship language. Whatever you call it, it is a phenomenal spiritual gift that allows you to connect with God directly from your spirit to his spirit. So the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So many of us are very familiar with soulish activity. We spend many hours a week, you know, exercising our minds and watching TV and experiencing motions and making choices and so on. These are all soulish things. But worship, praise, and so on, that is a spiritual activity. That is your heart connecting directly with God's heart. And when you pray in the Spirit, that means praying in a language that you haven't learned and don't understand with your natural mind. Your spirit is communicating directly with God. And the enemy cannot attack your mind with doubts, because the enemy doesn't know what you're saying. He can't fight against it. So Paul says, when I pray in the Spirit, I am speaking mysteries unto God. My mind is unfruitful. But guess what? Praying is not primarily a mental activity. I feel sorry for Christians who are still praying out of their minds only. Prayer is a spiritual activity. Prayer is really meant to be from the heart. It's with the heart man believes, and faith is actually from the heart. And, you know, it says in the Psalms, trust, or Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you to leave the holy place of soulish activity and to press into his presence in the Holy of Holies, where it's spirit touching spirit without the interruption and the compromise or the mixture of soul entering in. How many understand what I'm saying? This is where the abundant life is when we connect with God spirit to spirit. So when we pray in the spirit, Jude says we are building ourselves up in our most holy faith. That's in the book of Jude, verse 20. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. Now that word building yourself up, some translations might say edifying yourself. We could say encouraging yourself, or actually the truest translation of that word in the original would be the word we would use to describe recharging your battery. So when you pray in the spirit, it's like putting the battery charger on your battery and recharging your inner man. How many of you think that would be valuable? All of us have experienced that sinking feeling on a cold winter morning when we're already late for work, and we go and unlock our car and open the door, and the dome light doesn't come on. Oh no, is this what I think it's going to be? And then we put the key in the ignition and turn it, and we hear click, click. The battery's dead. You know how I can tell that your battery's low when I meet you? The dome light is off. And your face isn't glowing. And, you know, there's just a whole lot of clicking going on and not much power. And when I reach to turn the radio on to hear a song of the Lord, you know, there's no sound. And the rain is falling, but the wipers aren't working. You know what? You need your battery charged. So I'm going to just ask you honestly, how much time did you spend praying in the Spirit this last week? I'm talking about actual minutes or hours. You know, Paul said, maybe the greatest champion of the gospel, other than Jesus himself, he gave us his secret. He said, I pray in the Spirit more than all of you. Wow. There's your key right there. I look at some of you and I see your battery's almost out. There's maybe, you know, I have this old lawn tractor and, you know, it's worked hard over the years. And every time I go to start it to cut the grass, you know, it goes boom. And then I have to wait and it'll go boom, boom. You know, because the battery is actually low. And, you know, after it runs for a while, it charges itself up. But fortunately, it has started every time, but just barely. And that's where some of you are. You're doing your best just to get to church on a Sunday morning. You know, that's not really how you were created to function. You're functioning on three cylinders, and really, God created you to function on eight. And I'm recommending that you get your battery recharged. How? It tells you in Jude verse 20. Praying in the Spirit. Edifying yourself, building yourself up, recharging your batteries. So I'm putting a challenge on this church. Do not treat praying in the Spirit as kind of a maybe I'll do it someday when I have nothing else to do. I think it needs to be near the top of our list, because that determines how bright our lights shine, that determines how vigorous our song is, that determines how well all of the accessories in the car work, and how effective we can be. Sound good? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon every one of these believers, that they will suddenly have a hunger and a desire and a passion to connect with heaven, spirit to spirit, and that they'll give their weary minds a little rest from all the schoolwork and studying and everything, and they will exercise themselves unto godliness by praying in the Spirit and connecting with God and speaking mysteries and actually prophesying and declaring the will of God over their lives. Can you say amen? Amen. The third thing about encouragement, you know, David went through a very hard time, and it actually says in, where is it, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it said about David, there was no one to encourage him. So it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David learned the secret of speaking to his soul from his spirit, and he would often say something like this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Come on, bless his holy name. I know you don't feel like it. I know you're feeling sorry for yourself. I know all those soldiers just forsook you and fled into the dark and left you alone. But soul, stand up and start blessing the Lord and enter into his gates with thanksgiving and bring into your remembrance all the great things he has done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David would speak to his soul. So would you come here for a minute? David didn't tolerate, you know, rebellion or wimpiness or kind of an anorexic, anemic response from his soul. He would say, soul, why are you cast down within me? Stand up, you know, put your shoulders back, lift up your head, lift up your head, your redemption's drawing nigh. And then he would say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Hope is of the soul, faith is of the spirit. Faith gives substance to things hoped for. The devil can't actually rob our faith, because that's from our spirit. But he can rob our hope from our soul. And I can feel it in the room right now. Many of you are entertaining hopelessness. Hopes have been deferred because certain prayers haven't been answered. The desires of your heart haven't come to pass yet. Maybe you're believing to meet the right spouse. I'm not sure where your hopes are deferred. Sorry, sometimes I'm more prophetic than I know. God loves your soul. Jesus died to redeem your soul. But your soul is not capable of being in the driver's seat of your life. Your spirit man needs to be in charge, because it's Jesus lives in your spirit. The ark of the presence of God is in the Holy of Holies, which is the innermost being, the center of your life. So you need to live and move out of your spirit, but your soul needs to cooperate with you. And it's like the spirit is the lord of the manor. The soul is like the butler that carries out the wishes of the Lord. And then the body is like the servant that obeys the soul. Does that make sense? All right, thank you. Lord, send him a wife. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. How good are you at talking to yourself? You know, I go all over the world all the time. We've traveled more this year than any other year in our entire ministry. So, and to some very far away places. You know, I can't afford to show up tired. I can't afford to show up discouraged. I can't afford to show up with my lamp having no oil in it. I can't afford to show up without revelation. I can't afford to show up without a now word. I can't afford to show up without strategies for leaders that I need to meet with on a regular basis that I need to receive from God. I can't afford that, because they spend thousands of dollars to bring us into their nation to help them do what God's called them to do. And so I don't always have a lot of people to encourage me. I spend a lot of time in airports and on airplanes, and I have to encourage myself in the Lord. Yes. I'll just be honest with you, I'm my number one encourager next to the Lord. How do you like that? Because guess what? I spend more time with myself than anyone else except God. So I just decided to encourage myself. And I hope that when I'm with people, I'm an encouragement to them. like a Barnabas. And that's the next thing I want to talk about. Every one of you should have a Barnabas in your life. Now, if you know the New Testament, Barnabas was a very close brother to Paul. And when Paul would, you know, get a little off track or deal with something maybe not in the best way, Barnabas was his friend who would come along and say, "Hey, Paul, you know what? You need to reconsider how you handled that. You need to tone it down a bit." Like, Barnabas was a friend who really sticked closer than a brother to Paul, and Paul trusted Barnabas, although they had a few disagreements over the years. And the word Barnabas actually means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. Now, Katie and I have had wonderful spiritual fathers and mothers over the years. We really feel so honored with the spiritual parents that God has given to us. But there would be a big gap in our lives if it were not for the Barnabases that God has also brought into our lives, or the Barbaras for Katie in her case. These are brothers who speak to us in a different way than maybe spiritual fathers and mothers would. I have three of them, and they are free to speak to me about anything they see or anything they would be concerned about or anything they want to encourage me. You know, and they do. And often, Katie will hear me on the phone with one of my Barnabases, and we're having a bit of a sword fight. Iron sharpens iron. And we're not angry with each other, but we're contending for the faith, and we're contending for the truth that was once delivered to the saints to make sure that we're, you know, delivering it accurately and in the right spirit. And so these Barnabases, you know, over, well, 35 years have challenged me doctrinally, scripturally, spiritually. And I would not be where I am today if I didn't know these Barnabases were in my life. Amen. Who is your Barnabas? Who do you have discussions with the Word about? Who speaks into your life about the way you're treating your spouse or parenting your kids? You need somebody like that. And even more than that, you need to be a Barnabas to somebody. Good. I said you need to be a Barnabas to somebody. Because there are a lot of discouraged people in this room who need a word from a Barnabas. And maybe you're supposed to be their Barnabas, but you haven't been. And so the enemy's been wearing them down. You know, their batteries have been drained because of all the drag that's been put on by the demands of ministry and family and school and whatever. And you were meant to come along as a Barnabas and jumpstart them. And you didn't. And they didn't get jumpstarted. And something got missed. And when that happens kind of through a whole church, the general spiritual tone begins to go down. And that was never in the plan of God for you, church. So I'm going to, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would speak right now to those that you have called to be Barnabases. And Lord, not just to one person or two, but maybe to several people. Father, I pray that you would speak to them right now. Who are they meant to be a Barnabas to? I pray that you'd lay those people on their heart and that they would go forward and that they would connect with them and that they would also receive Barnabases to speak into their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Next one, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Some of you are meditating on all kinds of negative things day in and day out. If it's not the U.S. federal election, it's the NDP government in Alberta. If it's not the NDP government in Alberta, it's how Brandt wears his hair on Sunday mornings. If it's not that, it's something else. Well, you know, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to meditate on and what we're supposed to think about. And it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It is very hard for you to be discouraged if you're thinking of everything heavenly and everything wonderful and everything true and everything of good report and of things where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on those things above, not on the things beneath. If you're going to watch CNN all day and then, you know, argue all night about what should be done with the U.S. election, you know what? You're going to be discouraged because you're thinking about the wrong stuff. So let's get our mind up on things where it should be, and our thoughts will, you know, encourage us. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about. If a wounded soldier were brought into this room today and he's barely functioning, he can't walk, he's completely exhausted, he's got open wounds, bleeding, what might be one of the first things the doctors and nurses need to give him? Pardon? IV fluids, exactly. That would be the first thing. And then maybe soon after that, what? A blood transfusion. Because he's lost blood. Did you know that life is in the blood? That flowing through your body right now to every cell are, you know, arteries and veins and capillaries. I'm not a medical person at all. But to every part of your body, if you're healthy, blood is flowing with oxygen and life. But the blood is also extracting the toxins from your cells that would want to make your body sick or actually even kill you. So the blood is very important. The heart is very important. Circulation is very important. Some of us don't exercise ourselves unto godliness, and the blood of Christ in us hardly ever moves. We are hardly ever stretched or exercised to do things spiritually, and so we grow sluggish, we're lethargic, we have no energy. All we can do basically is show up. Well, I believe that, you know, there's power in the blood, and that the blood will never lose its power. And it says in the book of Revelation, and they overcame by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and by not loving their own lives even unto death. And the Father said to me this morning when I was praying for you, church, because I love you guys, that some of you are wounded soldiers. And he said, you, church, needs a corporate blood transfusion this morning. That's what he said. You need a fresh infusion of the blood of Jesus into your lives because you're growing weary, you're tired, the blood in you has kind of been watered down, or you're not doing what's necessary to encourage circulation. The scripture says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Constant, what's that verb tense? Continual in the present. What's that verb tense called? Continual, there's a grammatical term for it. Sorry, any English teachers here? Continual present tense is what I'm trying to say. The blood is meant to continually cleanse you, whether you're asleep, whether you're running a 100-yard dash, whether you're writing an exam, or whether you're doing dishes. The blood is meant to be flowing through every part of your being, bringing light. But when we walk in darkness, we have no guarantee that the blood of Jesus is cleansing us. In fact, defilement might be coming on us. We're growing weaker and weaker. And I had the feeling that some of us are trying to walk with one foot in the light and one foot in the dark. And, you know, this morning, I understand during the worship when the words are on that the lights are on out there, but it's dark up here. So I asked, Greg to come down and turn the lights on, because we're really meant to walk in the light, aren't we? Okay? So, Father, would you just lift your hands right now and receive this if you want to. Heavenly Father, as you look down, you see the power of the blood in every one of us, whether it's working well, whether it's working partially, or whether it's at a low ebb. Father, I ask in obedience to what you spoke to me this morning that you would give this church right now a corporate blood transfusion. And any way the blood has become anemic or low in iron or timid, we have boldness to enter, it says, by the blood of Jesus. But there was a timidity on this church this morning. There was a timidity during the worship, which God has not given you that spirit of timidity. So in Jesus' name, I release right now the blood of Jesus to flow through every member of this body. And I speak to any clots or blockages or narrow places in the blood vessels. And I say, be opened in Jesus' name. Be dissolved in Jesus' name. And I say the blood of Jesus is now released to flow from the youngest to the oldest, from the strongest to the weakest, from the most mature believer to the most brand new baby Christian. In Jesus' name, I declare a blood transfusion over this church. I declare a vibrancy. I declare a cleansing that goes on continually, that the enemy will not be able to defile, hinder, or slow you down as you run the race. I declare a healthy heart that pumps the blood through every part of the body, that there's no part of the body that is not being visited and cleansed and breathed life into by the blood of Jesus, which is flowing. Lord, I thank you for your blood, and I thank you that this church overcomes by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and by loving not their own lives unto death. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And finally, Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. He's talking in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. He lists what they are, and he said, covet earnestly the best gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Why? Because prophecy does something awesome. Prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. Exhortation is another word for encouragement. When you prophesy to one another, you're speaking an encouraging word, a life-giving word, a challenging word. You're also building them up. You know, you're speaking to their identity and who they are in Christ. You're also speaking comfort and, just security to them as individuals. I'm sorry my time has run out, but I bless you with a spirit of encouragement, and I declare that all year long, God is wanting to bring new people into this fellowship, and the minute they walk through those doors, they feel encouraged because that spirit, that Barnabas spirit is in this house. Father, I thank you for you, church. I thank you, Lord, that you are not discouraged about this house. I thank you, Lord, that you've begun a good work here, and you plan to continue, and you plan to perfect it. I pray, Lord, again, that with this blood transfusion today, that this church would have boldness. And it says that we have boldness to enter in because of the blood of the Lamb. And so I pray for a holy boldness, not only in their meetings, not only when they're doing things as a church, but when they're reaching out and evangelizing and sending mission trips and giving and serving the poor and whatever else they do. I pray that it would be life-giving, honoring to God, and very fruitful in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Be encouraged.